Welcome to the very first episode of Dinner at Our Place. I'm Steve Pierce. I'm here with my wonderful, beautiful, vivacious wife, Jessie. Jessie, say hello to the nice people out there on the internet.
Oh, well, hello, and thanks for that introduction.
Well, you're very welcome, dear. It's wholly deserved. So we have a podcast, dear.
We do. This is kind of scary.
Should we start by telling the good people of the internet how this came to be and what the heck we're doing here?
Well, do we really know what we're doing here?
We don't know what we're doing, but we have like a vague idea of what we want to be doing.
Yes. So we love to have people over for Sunday dinner. I really love to cook. We like to entertain people. Steve's always a great host. He always says, every time we have people over, we all sit down to start dinner. He always says, he explains what we're eating, and he says something along the lines of, if you don't like something here, we'll find something that you like, right?
Of course, yeah.
And so Steve's a great host. I love to cook. We love to have people over. And so we figured, why limit that to the people who live close by here in Washington, D.C.? And so we've decided to share our Sunday night dinner conversations with all of you, and we hope you enjoy them.
Yeah, so we'll be... I don't know how often we'll do these. I think that's still open to kind of our stamina, which is to be determined. I think the best practice in the industry is to do one once a week, but that may be a little ambitious. So we're starting with one, and then we'll see where it goes from there. But every episode we'll be talking about kind of the topics that we would be discussing if you were sitting around our dinner table on Sunday evening. So that can be anything from kind of the serious stuff like politics and religion, you know, the stuff that you're not supposed to talk about in polite company.
But we always do.
We always do because we're not polite company. to, you know, the fun stuff like movies, TV, music, celebrity gossip, you know, the stuff that we really, the real important stuff in life.
The really important stuff.
So we'll be talking about that every episode. And I think we want to try and keep this short, right, Jessie?
Yeah, I mean, people have lives and other things to do, and so we'll keep it under 30 minutes.
Just like our dinners at our house.
Just like our dinners, yeah. If you've ever come over to dinner at our house, you know, you come over. We're probably running a few minutes late because we always do, but we kick you out after 30 minutes. Like, yeah. That's it. Like, yeah. You're on your way, done or not. I don't want you here.
Half a plate of food
left. Half a plate
of
food, yeah.
We put it and we just like scrape it into a little Tupperware and box it up and just say, it's time for you to go home. This is really, actually, it's like 4 hours later. We're still talking.
If you've ever been to our house for dinner and you've been here for less than 2 hours, you probably had things to do.
Yeah. And we have these really like these metal chairs in our kitchen.
They're so uncomfortable.
They're pretty uncomfortable, but we like make people sit there for like 4 hours and talk to us. Like it's the gulag and we're in Soviet Russia, which we actually may be. We may be nowadays. But that's the plan. We'll see how it goes.
We'll keep it to 30 minutes. We'll talk about a few different sections, a few different topics for the week. Hopefully you like them. And if you don't, you know, you can just fast forward and then maybe there'll be something you like after that first topic.
Great. So this week we're going to start with kind of two topics. We're going to talk a little bit about Jessie and I's favorite person, our new Orange Cheeto president, Donald Trump, a little later today and a little later in the episode.
Naturally.
You can't not talk about Trump. There's just so much to talk about. He's such a talkable guy. But we'll start. We won't start on the apocalyptic note tonight. We'll start by talking about what happened last night. We're, for the record, I guess, recording this on Monday. And last night was the biggest cultural event of the American calendar year, as it is every year, which is the Super Bowl. And I don't know if you guys know this, but Jessie is not a huge fan of football, just generally.
I don't do football. Well, I mostly don't do football because we do basketball in this house, and the idea of having two sports just makes me want to cry, so we stick to one.
It's not that bad.
Oh, gosh. Anyone who knows with Steve and basketball is just, you know, so we stick to basketball in this house. There's no time or place for football, except for once a year, normally. You know, we watch the Super Bowl. Like, you have to, right?
It's an American cultural institution.
Like, you can't not watch it. Like, you can't go to work and not know what happened during the Super Bowl. So last night was, like, the perfect night for me. I don't know. Was it the perfect night for you?
Probably not.
So let's go back. So we have church on Sunday nights until 6 o'clock, which is just terrible. But
it's like the worst time, 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock.
Three to six.
We're Mormons, and we go, for those of you who don't know, we go to church for 3 hours. Like 3 hours consecutively every single week.
And we don't decide the time you go. You know, it's determined by your demographic, by your geographic location. And anyway, so ours this year for this calendar year is from 3 to 6 p.m. So we have church until 6 o'clock. Super Bowl starts at 6:30. So we go over to some friend's house right after church for the Super Bowl. I was all jazzed, loved the people who were all going to be there. But the idea of having chili dogs was like a big motivating factor for me to be there because I love a good chili dog.
Jesse loves chili dogs.
Like more than any human should love chili dogs. So we go there, have some chili dogs, talk to friends, eat other junk food that I never buy but is so delicious.
I think you came home after and we were lying on the couch and you said to me, you kind of like snuggled in and you said, I don't know what I was expecting you to say, but the first words that came out of your mouth were, "Those Doritos tasted really good tonight."
Like, I'm never going to buy a bag of Doritos, but they were so good. Anyway, so we go eat chili dogs, Doritos, all the other heartburn foods. We come home. We turn on the TV. We put Cohen to sleep because it's way past his bedtime. His bedtime is 7. It's like 7:45.
He was a champ, though.
He was a champ.
Cohen's our son, by the way.
We put Cohen to sleep, and then Steve goes to turn on the game. What happened?
Oh, we turn on, I go to, I'm really excited. You know, I watched, I'm not a big football fan either, to be perfectly honest. I have this moral conflict raging inside of me that, you know, watching these men just destroy each other's minds and bodies is really not my ideal sport. I just feel really bad because I know what's happening to them. But I came down, I get excited to watch the Super Bowl every year. And I came down and turned on the TV, and the TV had the pink little like Comcast screen that comes up when the service is not working and it's disconnected. And then I was trying to scroll through my phone to like figure out what was going on, and my phone wasn't working. Like I couldn't connect to anything. And so I very quickly figured out that our TV and our internet were both down during the Super Bowl of all times. Comcast, our provider, who...
The worst.
If you have ever had Comcast, you know that Comcast is terrible. Apparently, they had an outage, and the TV and internet of all of Alexandria, Virginia, and I guess part of Arlington, Virginia, which is the area where we live, was out for the entirety of the Super Bowl. Which means there was a lot of really ticked off people.
Really unhappy people. So we then realized that even like the cell service was super slow because everybody was trying to stream this game over their phone. So I last remember, like by this point it's almost halftime and I'm like, oh, I'm going to miss Lady Gaga. Like,
which is what you were really
trying. Which is really all I wanted. And I vaguely remember falling asleep to you scrolling through Twitter trying to read like hashtag Comcast outage to see all the ticked off people.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of really angry people posting
on
Twitter.
So Steve's like enjoying himself reading these tweets to himself and like not watching the game.
Chuckling silently like a weirdo.
Steve falls asleep. We wake up at like 1 a.m. Comcast still isn't working, but you know, we had to see Gaga at halftime.
Like, had to see Gaga.
Had to see what Gaga did at halftime. So we turned it on our phone, watched it on a small screen. I should probably rewatch it. She killed it.
She was great.
I mean, I've always been a Lady Gaga fan. Like, I am a monster.
A little monster.
A little monster I am. And she killed it. And then we went to sleep.
And went back to sleep for another 4 or 5 hours until Cohen woke up at 6:30 in the morning.
So for me, it was a perfect Super Bowl Sunday. Like, it was efficient. I got my food. I slept. I saw the halftime. That's all I needed.
That's all you needed. You didn't have to watch any football. And there's no part of you. That game was like one of maybe the best Super Bowls of all time.
I do not.
Largest comeback in the history of the Super Bowl. First one ever decided in overtime. And you do not have any remorse about missing that at all.
None. Do you?
Yeah.
Of course, because Steve has major fear of missing out when it comes to cultural events and like cultural.
Yeah.
Like anything going on, Steve needs to know about it. Yeah. And so you kind of feel in the dark right now.
Why in the age
are
of
you
the
gonna
internet,
rewatch? Are you gonna go back and rewatch like the third and fourth quarters?
I seriously considered it today.
Oh
I
my
actually
gosh.
I
That's
actually
shocking.
I actually thought about this and I was like, I have it on the DVR. Somehow, even though the cable was out, it somehow
still
recorded.
It's the least Comcast could do.
Yeah, it's the least Comcast could do for me. And I was thinking about it and I was like, you know, should I go back and watch the third and fourth quarter? And I'm not decided, but I'm seriously considering it because it was supposed to be a great game, and I want to know what everyone was talking about.
Well, let us know. Let me know.
But I did see Lady Gaga jump off the roof of the stadium, which apparently was not live, was pre-recorded.
Oh, that part was. I need to go back and rewatch her. She was fabulous when I was half asleep, so I can only imagine how great it's going to be when I'm fully coherent.
I mean, I guess we should expect that was pre-recorded because, like, realistically, once you stop and think about it, like,
I, in the moment, thought it was live.
Well, it was also like 1 in the morning,
and
we were
both
like not lucid.
I was very impressed. But yeah. I'm probably going to be impressed when I rewatch it anyway. So.
But like, think about like all those lights behind her, like the drone helicopters. Like, do we really expect that they were like getting those all to form in the formation of the American flag live on television?
She would do anything in my book.
That's true. She is pretty amazing.
She's amazing. So I would believe it.
Did you have a favorite part of the Lady Gaga Super Bowl halftime show?
I'm actually shocked she only had a few costume changes. Only, what, two? Because when we saw her live in Vegas, like, what, 7 years ago, she had 10 costume changes during her show.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible.
So I was expecting more costume changes. I didn't love the gold little jacket number. That was kind of weird. But, she's so great. Like, She's just fabulous. She can do no wrong in my book. Really, she can't.
So. That's good. So the no on the gold jacket.
No on the gold jacket. That was a little off. But you know what?
I hear mixed medals are in for 2017.
Mixed medals are very in for 2017. So maybe.
In for fall, everybody. Very on trend for fall.
Maybe I should, you know, anyway. But I think she did great.
My favorite part was, do you have a guess?
Oh, I don't know. No, I don't. I mean, I only remember, I vaguely remember it. It was like a...
We really should watch this
again.
My favorite part is the favorite part of every Gaga performance, which is...
Bad Romance.
One of the all-time, like, great...
Have you ever tried to do that little dance that she does? Like, the side thing? It's very hard.
Way too many times.
I mean, too bad this isn't live video or we could have Steve doing the dance.
It's a little bit Thriller-esque.
It's Thriller-esque, but it's like offbeat a little bit. Yeah. I've tried many times to do that. It is surprisingly hard.
Just like you at home alone with Cohen doing the
This was like pre-Cohen days. I mean, maybe I should do it with him now, but it's hard. Have you ever tried it?
No, but I will say that is one of like top five just straight bangers of the last 17 years, this century. Just
Bad Romance. Really? Just, the last century? That is
this century, like the 21st century, since 2000, the last 17 years.
Okay.
Just a straight banger. It's been stuck in my head all day. It's
a great song.
So good. I hadn't listened to it in a while, and it just rekindled my love for Gaga.
You know, if we ever do a YouTube channel first video, Steve doing the Bad Romance dance, because if you don't know this, Steve's a pretty good dancer.
I took hip-hop dance classes.
He can hang, and I would like to see a Bad Romance video.
If you think I'm a good dancer now as a 30-year-old almost dad, Jesse, imagine how attracted you would have been to me
I would have died.
When I was 13 years old in my hip-hop dance class days with my bleached blonde tips doing NSYNC moves.
Oh, I would have passed out. It's a good thing I didn't know you then, because I would
have
just...
You would have been all over that.
Yeah. Anyway, that's pretty amazing.
So that's actually a really good segue. Not necessarily me dancing, but...
Steve's love for NSYNC.
Not necessarily that either. I do love NSYNC. That's a long story for another podcast. But my rekindling of my love for Lady Gaga through her Super Bowl performance got me thinking about, why don't we talk a little bit about what we're listening to right now?
I feel like you and I, if people don't know this about us, take our music very seriously.
Very seriously. Much more seriously than other people I've found.
Like
our friends.
Like, and I pride myself on that. Yeah. Like, I listen to a lot of music. I listen to, I like to be up on...
We take our pop culture pretty seriously, generally.
Yeah. But, like, I like to be up on what's cool, what's good, because sometimes what's good is not cool. I think we take our music very seriously. So, I have had a whole slew of emotions. If I have not been thinking about Donald Trump, I've been thinking about Sam Hunt.
Oh, Sam Hunt. Now, for the people who don't know who Sam Hunt is, because...
Just Google Sam Hunt and you will fall in love.
Well, explain a little bit of who this young man is.
Sam Hunt, oh my gosh, can I do him justice right now?
Probably not.
So Sam Hunt is a country artist. He is kind of the newer country, though, so he's not traditional country.
He's not singing, "She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy"?
No. He is part of, like, the newer, innovative country scene that's, like, the purists don't like. But he's a country artist. He was a college football quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and then he was going to maybe go into the NFL, and then didn't make a team or something, I don't know, anyway, ended back up in Nashville, was writing songs, wrote some really great songs for like Keith Urban and a few other artists, songs you probably know, and then one day he decided, why am I not singing these songs myself, why am I writing these great songs for the people? So he put out an album, what was it, 2 years ago?
2014, yeah.
2014 put out an album, and it's like all I listened to during 2014 and 2015.
Montevallo is the name of the album.
It's fabulous. He is a dream. Check him out. And then he kind of just fell, like after the album ran its course, he kind of just fell off face of the earth, as all artists, you know, take a break.
Yeah, it was a huge album.
It was a huge album.
I mean, it had like five number one singles on the country charts, was like the number one best-selling album.
Just listen to it
country.
If you haven't already. You will fall in love. Start with Take Your Time. And then you can just work your way. Steve and I have differing opinions about, you know, best songs from there. So just give it a listen.
It's kind of like country crossed with some pop, crossed with some R&B. It's like country meets like Drake. There's like a heavy Drake influence, kind of a spacey sonics. It's very good.
So I was obsessed with that album. Of course, after that album ran its course, it didn't for me. I still listen to it. But, you know, I've been wanting some new Sam Hunt lately.
It's been a while.
Like, it's been a while. His occasional Instagram posts have not been enough for me. So then he puts out a song a few weeks ago. And then he puts out a song this week. Called Body Like a Back Road, and I'm obsessed. It's like all I've been listening to. It's all Cohen and I listen to and dance to. It's the best song ever.
This is the first single off his soon-to-be new album.
Which makes me so excited. I'm hyperventilating. I'm so excited right now.
Well, I want to talk about your hyperventilating over Sam Hunt, because... Right, as Jesse said, this Body Like a Back Road, this is the first single, but he released a couple weeks before another single, which was kind of just like a one-off. I don't know if it'll be on the new album or not, called Drinking Too Much, and kind of coinciding with that single, with that song being released.
It was devastating.
It was made known that Sam Hunt is, who's a very, very attractive man.
Very attractive man.
Very attractive. And Jesse definitely has a thing for him.
You think he's attractive too.
I have a thing for him. I'm very honest about that. So it was announced that Sam Hunt is engaged to his...
Not just engaged. He's engaged to the girl that he wrote all the terrible songs on Montevallo about.
Montevallo is very much a breakup album.
It's a breakup album. And all those songs are about... Most of them are about the same girl, and he is now engaged to that girl again, which happens. I get it. But, like, it just happened so fast because I didn't know what was going on. And then all of a sudden it was like, I'm engaged to Hannah Lee. Like, you can't just spring that on someone.
So Jesse comes to me, like, we were sitting after dinner one night, and you were flipping through Instagram.
I mean, he had posted a few Instagrams of her, but I thought maybe she was, like,
You didn't want to believe it was real.
I mean, I just thought maybe they were friends. I was avoiding it.
But you were flipping through Instagram, and then you came to the announcement that said that he was engaged.
They went to Israel, and they got engaged.
And I saw Jesse go through, like, the five stages of grief,
yeah, it was,
like, so fast. Like, she started with denial.
I was in denial, and then I got mad.
Then you got angry.
I was mad.
You were mad. I actually have this on video.
I was pretty mad. I didn't love that song at the time. And so I was like, you put out a crappy song. I was like, I've been waiting so long for great music, and this is what you put out. And
she was ruining the music. She was Yoko Ono-ing.
Yeah, totally. And then we came around. And now, weeks later, I'm feeling great about it.
You're feeling great about it. I'm very surprised, because you were so angry.
I was angry, but I have to remember that everybody deserves to have the same happiness that I do. And so I'm the Body Like a Back Road song has made me think he can still make great music while in love.
So are you saying that I'm like your own personal Sam Hunt, dear?
You are my personal Sam Hunt.
Oh my goodness. I feel so much better about myself than when we started this conversation.
And so he deserves to be happy, and he can still make great music while he's happy. And I mean, I'm sure she's a great person.
Even if she's not, and she's a good person for him,
obviously.
And
you know what? The best part about it is he's doing another tour. He's doing a tour this summer with this album, and I can't wait to see him.
Yeah, we're going in September. We bought our tickets the other day. We were really excited because it's both. It's not just Sam Hunt, but he's touring with Maren Morris, who's another one of my favorite artists. She is incredible. One of my favorite albums of 2015 was her first album, Hero. She's just great, amazing singer. So we're really excited for that. We're really excited about Sam Hunt generally. And speaking of another person who I've been listening to a lot lately, who we're also going to see much sooner than Sam Hunt, we're going to see him in April, is another guy who has new music, who is on our all-time, maybe my all-time
favorite. He's my all-time favorite.
But he was mine first, really.
Well, he technically, yeah, I'll let you have him.
Andrew McMahon, who previously was the front man for the band's Something Corporate, who was kind of the pop punk soundtrack
like
to me and Jesse's high school.
Yeah, our high school and then our relationship was founded on like talking about Something Corporate. So there's like such a deep connection there.
Yeah, and then his second band, Jack's Mannequin.
Also a deep connection with our relationship.
Also very deep, like right down to the very, like this is foundational
stuff. It's creepy
stuff.
How much our relationship has relied on this human being.
Who we've never met.
Who we've never met. And why haven't we met him, Steve?
Look, listen.
because let's just, so Andrew McMahon is coming. We're going in April. He's putting out new fabulous music, which I'm sure Steve will talk about. And so we're both turning 30 in March and April. And so I was like, 30th birthday, Steve, we should meet Andrew McMahon when he comes. And I thought this was a fabulous idea. Because last year for his birthday, I wanted to take Steve on a hot air balloon ride, which is a bad idea. Steve hates heights.
I don't know why you thought that was a good idea.
I thought it was going to be fun. I was watching The Bachelor. I thought it was going to be a great idea.
Never do anything they do on The Bachelor.
So anyway, I was like, Steve, this year for your birthday, I really think we need to meet Andrew McMahon. Like, you've never met him. I've never met him. Like, this is the moment. And Steve, why don't you want to meet him?
Because I don't like meeting famous people. I don't like meeting famous people that I look up to. I meet fake famous people for like work. I work in politics. I meet a lot of politicians who like you would maybe see on the news. And I don't really care about meeting those people because I don't have like emotional investment in them. But I'm very, very.
What are you afraid of?
I'm very afraid that I will meet this person. They will turn out to be a jerk, and then it will like invalidate everything that I've like sunk into them. I won't be able to like their music or like them as an athlete or whatever it is.
But what if you meet them and they're fabulous?
Then that's great. I don't feel a need to like
to
know
meet
that.
Them.
I don't need to know them on a personal level. I feel like maybe, especially with like musicians. Like
more than actors and actresses.
Yeah, more than actresses, more than even athletes. I feel like musicians, because what the music that they put out is so personal, it takes on such a personal role in your life.
Yeah.
I feel like I know them better than I know them so well, or at least the version that I want them to be in my head.
Yeah.
So well, I don't feel like I need to know them as a real person.
Is this like people who read books and have it? I mean, I don't read books, so I wouldn't know.
Neither do I really anymore.
Is this like the kind of person that like reads a book and knows the characters, like what they've created the character to be in their brain, and so they don't want to go see the movie because they don't want it to be ruined by somebody playing that role?
Maybe. That could very well be like a good parallel.
You have like this person in your brain, although you've seen them perform live. I mean, how many times have we seen Andrew McMahon perform live? At least 20 between the two of us, I swear.
A lot, yeah.
A lot of times. And so you've seen him perform live. You've seen him live. You've seen what he's like, but for some reason you just can't. I've
watched a lot of interviews with him.
You just can't.
In my mind, I believe that he is like a very nice, cool dude. Everyone I've ever known who's ever met him has said he's like the nicest guy.
He never mails in a performance. He is like a solid individual.
But you know who else everyone who's ever met said is the nicest guy?
Who?
Kevin Durant. And Durant ripped my heart out and stomped on it last July 4th, a day which will live in infamy in the Pierce house.
Yes, it will. It's my favorite holiday, and Kevin Durant ruined it. Thanks, Kevin. We'll talk more about Kevin another day because I have a lot of feelings about that whole thing. I think we both have a lot of feelings. They're still very fresh.
So many feelings.
So what are you loving about Andrew's new songs. I mean, the whole album hasn't come out yet, right?
Right. It comes out, I think, in a couple weeks, but he's released 5 songs. There's only 10 songs on the album, so he's released basically half the album early as kind of early hype. And it's just, it's all really good. It's very, Andrew's kind of gone through a progression in his career where he started very, on Something Corporate, very pop punk. And then he's gotten like very like harder, crunchy guitars, all that. And progressively as he's gone through his career, he's gotten...
Is he getting soft?
He's getting slightly poppier every time. And I think when he started this latest project, Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness, a couple years ago, he really like turned the leaf fully over.
Which, and I embrace that he's trying to be.
No.
Like, he's not afraid to be pop.
And he's committed to that.
He's committed to it. He wants the radio hits.
And I appreciate that, because there's so many people in music who are just like, if you're popular, like, you're selling out. And like, who in their career does not want to be successful? And now he has a family, has a wife, he has a beautiful daughter. Like, who doesn't want to like have success and be able to provide for their family and give them everything they want?
And have those radio hits.
Yeah. And that's how you measure success in his business. And so I'm a poptimist to like the fullest extent. Like, I embrace.
Did you invent that, or is that a thing?
No, that is the thing. I am not that cool.
That's adorable.
But I fully embrace, pop music, and I think that pop music is great art, and just because a lot of people like it, that doesn't mean that it's not great art. It probably means that it's even better art, because music and art is made to be enjoyed, and so if you enjoy a song, that means it's good. So he's definitely fully turned over that leaf with this new album. He kind of did on the last album too, but he's gone even another step with
this
new
fabulous
album.
It's fabulous. I have worked out to it now for a few weeks, and it's just fabulous.
What's your favorite song?
I don't know. So Close, maybe?
So Close? You like
it's
that one?
It's pretty good. I mean, as far as like cardiovascular activity
that's
during the songs.
That's how Jesse judges all songs.
Yeah, because that's how when I really listen to my music and like zone out. And so Close. What's your favorite?
Don't Speak for Me.
I knew that.
Which is very much like the most pop song.
I think it's going to be a radio hit.
I think it should be. It's really good, incredibly catchy, great
hook. I'm
actually
shocked you didn't put that one out first. I think that would have been a bigger radio hit than any of the others.
Yeah, I mean, it's just for a bit of context, it's the first song that he's ever recorded himself that he wrote for somebody else. He's been doing co-writes with other artists more often in recent years. And this one, I guess he wrote for someone else and they didn't end up using it, and it kind of stuck in his mind. And he thought, you know, I should really record this song. And it's a departure for him.
Well, the first time I heard it, I was like, this isn't his typical story and like his typical song.
Yeah.
And then when you told me he wrote it for somebody else, it made perfect sense.
Yeah. But it's still, you can still feel Andrew in there, yeah. But it's totally different. It's him totally embracing the pop side, which is great. I think it's awesome. So if you have 5 minutes in your day and you want to be picked up by an awesome pop song, go listen to Don't Speak for Me by Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. Spotify, Apple Music, whatever you want, YouTube.
It's fabulous.
It's really good.
That's your homework for the week.
Jesse, there's one other thing that you've been listening to a lot.
So I started listening to podcasts a lot, right, when Cohen was born.
Which we never did before.
Which I never listened to podcasts. I listened to music, or I was at work, or hanging out with you. And so since he was born, I don't get a lot of adult interaction during the day. As adorable as Cohen is, there's no conversation between the two of us yet. And so I started listening to podcasts, and I have fallen in love with a lot of podcasts. They're great to listen to while he's napping, and I feel like I'm getting some having a conversation, even though I'm not actually having a conversation with anyone. But I've been obsessed with not just the podcast, but the men behind the podcast. Of Pod Save America.
Pod Save America.
Pod Save America has changed the way I receive and digest news.
How did you receive and digest news before?
Only on Twitter.
And now
the occasional cable, you know, the occasional Rachel Maddow, Chris Hayes.
But now you listen to this podcast.
Now I almost want their opinions. Like, I wish they did something daily, because I want to know their thoughts.
Well, I feel like they've got a lot of time on their hands. The guy, for the uninitiated, Pod Save America is a podcast that started as Keeping It 1600 on
last year
during the election. It's done by Jon Favreau, Tommy Vietor, John Lovett, and Dan Pfeiffer, who are all former Obama administration operatives of different titles in the administration. They all worked for Obama for a long time. Very smart guys, very plugged in, very
funny,
entertaining. And so they mostly just talk about the political news of the day. They record twice a week.
Yeah. So, and I like that I get their take on things because they've been in the room where it happens. They know.
They have been in the room where it happens.
They know what's up. They know, they kind of give their side. I mean, of course, I agree with them on a lot of things, which makes that convenient. But I was actually talking to a friend about this, and it's kind of like the pillow talk I need to get through the terrible political situation we're in right now. Like, I feel like the three of them, I'm like in the room with them and we're like having girl chat about how terrible things are going.
They're just like talking you down.
They're like talking me down from how terrible things are. And I always feel better after, you know, our therapy sessions that I'm just listening to. Not actually in the room, but you know, but they're just
they're
like
voicing what you would voice if you were on the couch.
Yeah, they're pretty great. And so I listen to Pod Save America and I'm loving it. And do you listen to it, Steve?
I listen to every episode. I love them. They're great. They have really mostly smart takes. I don't agree with everything that they
see. You're like smarter in a lot of these areas, so you have your own opinions, where some of these things I don't care about, so I just appreciate knowing their opinions.
This is also what I do for a living.
It is also what you do for a living. But Tommy became my new favorite recently. I was a big Jon Favreau fan. I mean, obviously. And then lately, Tommy's been coming from behind, and I think he's my new favorite on the podcast.
Well, he has his own podcast now, so you get him three times a week.
Twice a week.
Oh, that's
only
true.
Twice a week. Unfortunately, wish it was three.
You wish it was three.
But so I've been listening to a lot of Pod Save America. I think everybody listens to Pod Save America.
It's like the number three podcast on iTunes now. I think it was number one, and then it fell to number two. And now I think Tommy's podcast, Pod Save the World, where he kind of talks about foreign policy, has jumped up to number two. So it's at number three. But yeah, a lot of people listen to it.
I feel like it's a great, I mean, if you don't agree, it'll frustrate you. So maybe you shouldn't listen. But I really enjoy it. I think if you're left-leaning, you would probably also enjoy it, don't you think?
Well, definitely. I don't think if you're right-leaning, you probably wouldn't enjoy it that much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But if you're not listening to it and you're left-leaning, you should listen.
Yeah, if nothing else, it sounds like it'll make you feel better.
I feel like if people are going to come over to dinner at our house, they should have listened to it. That should be like a new prerequisite.
So that we can discuss
the latest. Is that bold? Is that rude?
Discuss Lovett's jokes and you gotta know these things.
Yeah, like you need to be on first-name basis with these people.
Yeah.
Because we are.
Awesome. Yes, 100% agree with that. Let's cut it off there because I was going to make an awesome segue, but I want to make sure we have time for people to listen to our wonderful theme music again for a few seconds before we segue into our own little mini Pod Save America.
Oh, gosh.
And talk about our new Cheeto in Chief, Donald Trump. So we'll get to that in 1 second. All right, we're back. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Very clever.
You're so clever.
President Donald John Trump, the 45th president of the United States. I'm going to have to go cry in a corner now for a little bit.
I think every single person that's come over to our house since the election, not even since inauguration, since the election, we've talked about this in some way or another because everybody always asks you your opinion because you work in politics. People want to know how you feel.
I worked for Hillary Clinton.
You worked for Hillary Clinton.
It was a devastating moment in my life.
So everybody, so I feel like this is what everybody is talking about.
Yeah. I mean,
especially in our house. Like this is so authentic. Like if there's one thing you would be talking about at dinner at our place, it's Donald Trump.
Yeah. I mean, we always talk politics at our house just because it's what I do for work and it's kind of inescapable. We live in Washington, D.C. with a lot of other politically very smart people, even if they don't necessarily work in politics like I do. But I think this is kind of transcends that. Like everyone in America is talking about
Donald
Trump.
It's like a reality television show that
That is our lives.
That is our lives, exactly. Like I love reality TV, right?
Yeah.
And like this is a reality television show that it's not, we don't know how it's going to end. We don't know anything. We don't know when the season's going to end. We don't know. We don't know anything.
We don't know how long it's going to be till Donald Trump throws a drink in the face of the Prime Minister of Australia.
Like, we don't know. Yeah. So how are you feeling about all this?
Oh, well,
without you know, waxing without, on too long.
It's bad. It's not good. It's bad. I feel since the election, I've kind of just felt like I was in a haze, and I feel like I started to kind of come out of it these last couple weeks since he's actually been in office. The transition period was really bad for me
because
it was like, it wasn't really real yet. Obama was still in office. Trump was saying crazy things, but wasn't actually doing anything yet. And it was just really depressing. And I was like this sense of constant dread. But since he's been in office, yeah, he's doing terrible stuff every single day that is outrageous. But it's outraging me, and I'm feeling like a little bit, I'm feeling like I'm like, I don't know. It's pulling me out of my funk, if only just because it's like, there's something to do now. He's out there, he's doing bad things, and I get to go to work every day and figure out how to make that better or make him do less bad things in some way or another. So it's been a little bit better, but it's...
You've got your boxing gloves on.
I've got my boxing gloves
on.
You're
ready to fight.
I'm fighting the, you know, the gloomiest, like, dementors there are, but it's pretty bad, but I'm ready to make it better.
You know what, though? I respect that about you, and that's something I've always respected about you, and I think most people that know you would agree that you obviously believe in causes and you want to work towards things you believe in and causes you believe in, and that's, like, what gets you out of bed, and that's what motivates you, and that's what's very inspiring about you to other people.
Well, I'm not doing it for the money, so.
No. but, you know, you're like, you're motivated by the cause, and I respect that.
Well, how have you been feeling about
it? I have started to be motivated by the cause.
Which is surprising.
Which is surprising because I am not that person. And same kind of thing. It was hard. Inauguration, it was January. It was hard. Really, really, really hard. Harder than I thought it would be. And there might be a little bit of an activist in me somewhere. Like
we're uncovering it piece by piece.
We're finding the activist inside.
Pod Save America.
It's
engaging you in civic discourse.
It is. Past like getting potholes filled because I take potholes very seriously.
Nothing gets Jesse more enraged than an unfilled pothole.
It's terrible. So anyway, the thing that's actually surprised me most about all of this is, you know, he's terrible. It's like, do I listen and watch the news or do I not? Like, is it better to know or not know? But Cohen has a little book called Little Presidents, and it's about all the
which
great...
Which he loves.
Which he loves, this book. It's adorable. And
it's about all the great
presidents. And I have not... And normally we'd read this at least once a day. Like, I read it once a day, you read it once a day.
Mm-hmm.
Weekends, you're reading it two or three times a day. Yeah. I mean, we have the book memorized. He probably has the book memorized. I mean, he's 11 months old and probably has the book memorized. I have not been able to read it since the inauguration. I read it before inauguration, but since the inauguration, I have not read him that book. I feel really bad. I can't do it.
I actually noticed this, like, low-key, and I never said anything. I still read it to him, but I do get a little sad, because when you get to the end, the last president they talk about is Barack Obama, because it's all kind of historic presidents, and it says, you know, Barack Obama is a family man. What is this?
When others say we can't, he declares, yes, we can.
And then on the other page, it says Barack Obama is the first president of the United States because when the book came out. First African-American president of the United States. Because when the book came out, he was still in office. But now he's obviously not in office. So I feel like when I read it now and I say Barack Obama was the first African-American president of the United States, like past tense, there's a little part of me that dies every time that happens.
It's sad.
And then you flip to the next page, which
it
is
says,
the last
anything
page.
Anything can happen in the USA. Hey, maybe you'll be president someday. And then there's a picture of Obama, and then there's like an empty, there's like all the presidents in a row, and then there's President Obama, and then there's like an empty hole next to it with a question mark, like where you would be or where Hillary Clinton should be.
But instead, I look at that little hole, empty hole with a question mark, and I know that there's someday going to be an orange face with terrible yellow hair.
They're just
going
to pull the Cheeto guy off of the Cheeto package, right, and put
Chester
it there?
Chester the Cheeto?
Chester, is that his name?
Chester the Cheetah.
Chester the Cheeto, and put it on there, right?
But the book is right that anything can happen in the USA,
yes,
because we have now seen that happen.
Yeah, so that's been like weirdly the hardest. No, that's not been the hardest thing for me, but that's been like the most tangible thing for me.
Yeah. Is there anything out there that's giving you hope other than kind of Pod Save America, which is obviously doing a lot to calm your angsty liberal soul?
You are. You help, like, you help me feel like it's going to get better, good things are coming. I mean, a few Twitter, like Cory Booker, following him on Twitter makes me really happy and gives me hope. But that's really it. What about you?
There's two things that give me hope, and they're kind of related, but kind of not. One is the gross incompetence of Donald Trump and his White House staff. Like, these guys...
Yeah, that's true.
These guys, are the, they can't find their face.
They can't find the light switches.
They literally... The New York Times article came out last night that said... A great article by Maggie Haberman and Glenn Thrush. They said the lead was that the senior staff of the White House is... habitually meeting in the cabinet room, which is a room in the West Wing, which actually under Obama, you couldn't be in there without the president if you were staff. So it's kind of weird that they're meeting in there without the president. But they meet in the White House at night in the dark because they can't figure out how to turn on the lights. And Pete Souza, who was the White House photographer for 8 years under Obama, tweeted this out and said, it's the light switch is right by the door. It's not that hard. So these guys, I mean, they've just bungled the last 2 weeks. It's been a horrible 2 weeks for Trump. His approval ratings are down in the toilet. He's the most unpopular president at this point in his presidency ever. Like, in the history of polling, he's got like a 41 or 39 or whatever, somewhere in there, approval rating, depending on which poll you're looking at. So things are already bad. He's only 2 weeks in and they're this bad.
Are we only 2 weeks? Are we almost three?
It's two and a half.
Oh, gosh.
Just
it's
over.
Exhausting. I'm just exhausted.
It's been a long 2 weeks.
It's like an emotional roller. It's a reality show that I don't want to watch.
And like, it's got four more years potentially. I don't know if it can really go on for that long.
But anyway, I was giving you hope.
One is that they're completely incompetent.
Yeah.
And they're just going to continue to bungle this. And then two is the energy that we've seen from not just progressives, but from Americans generally being willing to get out there every weekend since he's been in office and protesting and demonstrating and organizing and really showing that they're not going to take this stuff lying down. They're not just going to let him have unchecked, you know, power and do whatever he wants. They're going to make their voices heard. They're going to get out in the streets. They're going to talk to the people in their communities. They're going to organize. And that, I think, bodes really well for our country. I think that's the best of who we are as a country. And I think that my fear is that we'll either A, lose that momentum, or B, we won't channel it into the right avenues to actually produce real and long-lasting change. It's great to be angry. It's great to be upset. See, it's great to show up at rallies.
You're telling me people are going to go rally, but they're not going to vote in 2018.
That is my fear. I don't know that will happen or not. We need to make sure that they show up and vote in 2018, that they vote for Democrats who are going to put a check on Donald Trump's agenda. That's what needs to happen. I think
I feel
the rallies
like
are great.
If you're going to go rally or demonstrate, you're going to vote.
I hope so. I hope that's true. But it's not just about the people who are rallying and demonstrating. They also need to talk to their friends and their family members and get them to go vote. Because there were like however many millions of people at the Women's March, for example. But that's a drop in the bucket. That's a drop in the bucket in terms of like actual votes.
No, totally.
So they need to not just vote for themselves. They need to volunteer. They need to find who their local candidates are going to be. They need to find their local Democratic Party committee, their state Democratic Party, county Democratic Party, and they need to volunteer, go knock on some doors, make some phone calls, talk to their friends and family.
I'm optimistic.
It's cause for optimism, and just making sure that we who care about this know that just demonstrating and protesting isn't good enough. We actually have to go do something. And so there's cause for great optimism. I think we're gonna outlast this. I think the orange Cheeto man is not going to kill America, but he's certainly going to try.
He's going to try his hardest.
He's already trying his hardest. But we're the ones who stand in the way, and we seem to be up for a fight. And so I'm really excited about that.
Steve's got his boxing gloves on.
We all do, Jesse. We all do.
And you're not a fighter.
I got the eye of the tiger. On that note.
Oh, my gosh.
We should probably end this. I think we, after just minutes after promising that we would keep this to 30 minutes, we pulled a Trump.
We lied.
I think we went long here. We lied. We gave you some alternative facts at the top. I think we're definitely over 30 minutes. But you know what? we're gonna try better next time. So next time we're gonna cut it down. But first episode, not bad, dear.
We hope you liked it.
We hope you liked it.
We hope you enjoyed.
We hope you enjoyed dinner
at our place.
At our place. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.